Brooklands Radio presents Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello and welcome to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. We'll be covering subjects relating to business, the challenges facing businesses in the area, as well as new opportunities and innovations. And if you'd like to join in, email studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk with any comments or questions for our guests. On today's show, we have Kate and Paul Ratton from Tomcat Gin, Andy Wilmot from Surrey Chambers of Commerce, Mark Lazar from Brighter Spaces, and Nikki Bonfanti from Trusted Sales Dynamics. But to start with, I'd like to welcome our first guest to the studio, Rob May from Ramsack. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Good of you to join us.
Thank you.
Can you, before we get into your TED talk, which you gave recently, perhaps you'd like to give us a bit of background about what did you do before you set up Ramsack?
Ramsack, I've been MD of Ramsack now for 26 years, so that's a long time. I'm also alongside of that the chairman of IOD in Surrey. So long career spell within the IT industry.
And what does Ramsack do exactly?
We make IT simple.
Ah, okay. So now we get on to the TED talk, which you've just recently gave. So how did you come to do a TED talk?
It's interesting, actually. So 2 years ago, I attended a TED talk, and I said at that point, I really want to do one. This is what I want to do. And I pushed the doors a number of times wanting to do one. And I'd written a talk that I'd given to a number of different business organizations, which was on the power of positivity in the workplace. And when I finally got the call to say, yes, okay, we'd like you to come and do a TED talk, they said, what do you want to talk on? And I said, the power of positivity in the workplace. And they said, no, we don't want that. And I said, oh, okay. And they said, the theme for the day is technology, and we'd like you to do a techie subject, and that's your background and so on. So I gave them four subjects that I could possibly talk on, and they chose cybersecurity. And I thought, that's the least positive subject I could possibly talk on, but nonetheless, that's what I did. And it's funny how things happen, because it's been a huge success, and
had thousands of downloads and views, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's over 30,000 now, and that's all around the world, and various police forces are using it, and schools and universities, and it's quite exciting. Given that the talk only happened in November, it's amazing the reach that it's had. I'm doing another radio interview next week for a station in Houston. And it's just
snowballed, really, then, hasn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely. And can anyone give a TED talk then?
No. So I guess you can, but there's a selection process, and the talks are, I love TED. I use TED all the time. I use it in internal training. I run a business school as well within Ramsack, which is about training the next generation of leaders. And in almost every session, there's a TED talk that I use.
And of course, for those who don't know, TED is a non-profit organisation, and it's devoted to spreading ideas, usually in talks no longer than 18 minutes.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important. So you've got this 18-minute limit. And when you're stood on stage, there's no notes. It's you and the cameras and a clock at the back of the room that's counting down from 18 minutes.
Anyway, let's get on to the content of the talk, because, I was fascinated by some of the facts that came up. So every 3 seconds, someone suffers from identity theft online. And cybercrime is bigger than drug crime. It cost $4 trillion in 2017, rising to $1 trillion a year. That's phenomenal, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, $4 trillion is just huge. And I did a calculation. In fact, I've since written a book about that stemmed out of the TED talk. And to put $4 trillion into context, if they were $1 bills and you stack them on top of each other, they would reach the moon and they would weigh 40 tons. And as you say, the cost of cybercrime is rising by $1 trillion per annum.
And so tell us about the book then. What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is We're All Porn Stars.
Very catchy title.
Absolutely. And it was how I started my TED talk. And it was a bit of a gamble. But the point of it is on social media, there were all sorts of quizzes and games. And there was one that caught my eye that was, what's your porn star name? And to work out your porn star name, you take the name of your first pet and the name, the first part of the name of the road that you lived in when you were a child. And that's your porn star name. Mine's Smokey Pound. So I asked the audience, I told the audience this, and I asked them to turn to the person sat next to them and introduce their porn star alter ego. And there's great hilarity and so
yes,
on.
There was, wasn't there? Yes.
But the point is, what I'm asking people to do is share information that would be used for their password retrieval for things like their online banking.
Yeah.
So actually,
yeah.
It's quite sinister.
Yes, indeed. Yes. And also the other sinister part of your talk was when you just demonstrated how people went into a coffee shop and in return for liking the coffee shop's Facebook page, the people in a van in there with their laptop could identify all sorts of information about the people, where they were worked, where they married. I mean, that was quite amazing.
Absolutely. And in that amount of time,
yes,
as well.
Yes, yes.
That was done, that video was done by an organisation called Identity Theft, which is part of CFAS, which is a non-profit cyber organisation. And it was just to illustrate, you know, why are you liking things on Facebook? And what does it mean? And what can people do with that? And what digital footprint are you leaving?
Yes, and also the other interesting one was the survey that if somebody gave them a Mars bar, they would enter in their name and their password. That was another incredible revelation.
Absolutely, and it's non-stop. So I'm actually writing another book at the moment, which is a child-friendly version of the book, and it's currently called "We're All Stormtroopers." And this was on the back of, two things. One, a number of people who have read the book and said, you know, I'd like to share this with my children, but I don't want to have the conversation about what's a porn star. But also, I then saw another scam over Christmas, which was directly aimed at children, and with the release of the current Star Wars movie. And it was to find out your Stormtrooper code, get your dad's credit card, and you need to share the 12-digit number from the front of the card and the 3-digit number from the back, and that's your Stormtrooper code.
My goodness.
I mean, it's blatant.
Absolutely, yes.
And, you know, often you look at these things and you think, nobody would be that foolish. But if you look at things like the porn star, one on Facebook, that got literally thousands and thousands of people sharing that information.
So what's the answer then? What should people be aware of, especially business owners?
It's about awareness. I talk about building the human firewall. When a client, Ramsack works in cybersecurity and we do a lot of work around it, but nobody can protect themselves in totality. You know, the FBI... I saw the FBI speaking 18 months ago, and they said at that point there were two types of business, those that have suffered a cyber attack and those that will suffer a cyber attack. And then in the summer, I was in Canada with Microsoft, and the same speaker from the FBI was there. And he came out onto the stage and he said, there are two types of business. And I said, I've heard this talk before. But this time what he said is there's two types of business or organisation, those that have suffered a cyber attack and those that don't know they have.
How sinister is that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the point is, when we have a breach, people are learning about you, they're profiling you, they're learning who you bank with, who you communicate with and so on. And really, you know, the lesson is about education and awareness and trusting gut feelings and enabling staff to question and to push back and for all of us to be having this open discussion about the fact that actually there is a lot of, you know, sinister cyber activity going on.
Yes, because I know one of the other illustrations in your talk was that some staff member got an email, a message from the MD who told her to transfer money, and so she did it without question.
That happens all the time. So that's called a whaling attack, and which is a form of phishing aimed at the big fish in an organisation. And in the UK, there's a whaling attack every 5 minutes.
My goodness. Well, we'll have to leave it there, I'm afraid. Well, thank you very much for coming in. So how can people get copies of your book?
So on Amazon, in all countries. So the book's called We're All Porn Stars. And the TED Talk's obviously available on the YouTube TED channel.
Yes, and we've also put the link on the Brooklands Radio Facebook page as well. And would you like to give us your website address as well?
Yes, so company website is ramsack.com, RAMSAC.
Okay, thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you.
So that was Rob May from Ramsack, and the next part of our programme, we'll be going to talk to Kate and Paul Ratton from Tomcat Gin.
You're listening to Surrey Business Affairs on Brooklands Radio, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
Discover the delights of Lebanese cuisine at the Brilliant Mazat in Weybridge. Found right in the town centre, this popular restaurant and grill offers locals a great dining destination and the chance to sample some of Lebanon's greatest dishes. Whether it's a meal for two, a meal out with a family, or dinner with a group of friends, Mazat guarantees an enjoyable experience.
Are you selling? Are you renting? If so, your first step is to talk to the team at V&H Homes. V&H Homes is an award-winning estate agency that covers Ashstead, Fetcham, Leatherhead, Epsom and now Bookham. With experienced and welcoming staff, we are an expanding and market-leading agency that you can trust. Call us today to discuss your property requirements and request a free valuation with no obligation. Or why don't you visit our website at vhhomes.co.uk and see what our customers have to say about us. We know you'll be impressed. V&H Homes is extraordinary. Come and see why.
It's Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello there and welcome back to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Kate and Paul Ratton from Tomcat Gin. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, thanks for joining us. And it's not very often that people bring in lovely bottles of gin into the studio, I must say. And these wonderful glasses here, which we'll get onto in a minute. Well, before we get into Tomcat Gin, what would be very interesting to know is what your backgrounds are. So, Paul, what were you doing before setting up the company?
Well, we're a brewery. We're Black Cat's Brewery. We've been doing that for 2 years. And it was Kate's idea to actually start some making gin. We developed that about 14 months ago.
And 14 months ago,
about
yeah.
14 months ago. And we wanted to bring out a classic dry gin. But I wanted it to be a little bit rounded at the back finish with using a bit of orange peel.
Okay.
To give it a little bit of sweetness.
Okay, were you lovers of gin, both of you? Is that what?
Of course.
Absolutely, yes.
So, yes.
And what made you do gin rather than any other spirit?
Well, we wanted to really try and integrate the brewery by making bourbon. That was the initial thought. But we actually contacted Trading Standards and they said, you can't do UK bourbon. There's a trade agreement between the US and European Union, and you can't make it. Hence, that's why we couldn't find a UK bourbon on the market. So that kind of died of death a little bit. And then Kate saw an article about how the gin market is really accelerating. And we decided to make gin.
And why do you think the gin market is accelerating?
Well, it's... Back in the days when I used to make my dad a gin and tonic, it used to appeal to those sort of 40-year-olds. Now the market is kind of exploding into the 20s and 30-year-olds, and it appeals to both men and women, not just the ladies. So everybody just loves a gin and tonic. And I think people are being more daring with flavours, and the smaller distilleries that are coming on online now are somewhat... I don't know, they just want to try different techniques and different flavours, really.
And okay. Also, there are so many botanicals, so we can all get our own individual gins and our own individual flavours.
Can you tell us what you mean by botanicals?
Basically, the plants that we can use. So, for example, our classic London dry gin, our Sussex dry gin, is juniper-led. And then we actually only have 6 botanicals in our gin, being orris root, orange peel, lemon peel, cardamom and coriander. And where locally, we source locally. So we're very into getting up an exciting new taste. And that's our own unique taste.
And how did you come up with this winning formula?
We did a lot of practicing. Paul and I had a lot of funny evenings and laughing and just really practicing.
And how long did it take before you came up to the winning combination?
I would say around 6 months for us to be happy with our first recipe. And we said, right, we're ready now to launch. So we thought we'd go, and it was last November.
Uh-huh. What was the response like?
Well, we started very slowly at a few local school fairs and Farnham Farmers Market, and we were bowled over. People were tasting at our farmers markets our gin, and they were coming and they were buying straight away and asking about it, and we had a great chance to talk to the public about our favourite subject.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to try it now, if that's okay. This looks absolutely amazing, and there's a piece of orange peel, and the smell... It's a wonderful orangey bouquet, really nice. Oh, I say, that's very good. Do pass it over to Graham for a little taste there, Graham. It's rather good. That's very, very nice indeed. And it's not too kind of strong and overpowering. It's, it's really lovely combination.
It's a lovely balance.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And the idea is it's got to be smooth. There's nothing worse than having a gin which catches the back of the throat.
Yes, exactly.
Back in the old days, going back to when I used to make my dad a gin and tonic, the gin was quite harsh and used to have a lot of tonic water to water it
down.
That's
right, I remember that.
This particular gin that you've just tried, I mean, I've just used one part gin to two parts tonic. So it's actually quite strong. But because the quality of the gin is there, you don't need a great deal of tonic water. And that's what people are realising now, that you can add your own botanicals or your garnishes. That'll add another layer of complexity on flavours.
And also what's so impressive is you're using local suppliers. You've got pure Sussex mineral water from Pear Tree Well.
Yes.
And also locally grown coriander, for example, which is great.
Which comes from Bosham, just below Chichester.
Well, I never. That's amazing. And also the gin is available locally at Wine Rack in Weybridge and at the Onslow Arms in Guildford. So are you looking to find more stockists?
Absolutely, yes, yes. We just, at the moment, we're just so overwhelmed with the orders coming in to us that we haven't got the time to get out there, because it's just Paul and I doing the business, and we're working 7 days a week. So we would love to get into more local restaurants and establishments, but it's just a matter of getting out there.
Yes, do you think you might take on a salesperson then to help you with that?
I think so, yes. I mean, that is definitely
on
our
the
plan,
cards.
For the future, yes.
And how do you find working together as a couple? That might be challenging for some people.
No, it works really well, actually. I mean, we most of the time agree about things, but we have to discuss things through. Paul's background before brewing was post-production up in London, and I was used to him going off and saying goodbye in the morning and then meeting up in the evening. But we find it works okay.
It does. I think we've got defined areas that we kind of separate out a little bit. But then we do have to discuss a few days a week what the plan for the week might be.
Sure. Anyway, let's move on now to your new exciting launch, which is the mango variety. Can you talk us through that? Because that looks amazing.
Well, we wanted to develop a fruit gin. That was very much a popular in demand. Because we do quite a lot of market stalls, people were asking and requesting a fruit gin. And we thought, well, there are quite a number of fruit gins on the market, and the one that springs to mind might be a raspberry kind of flavoured gin. We developed a raspberry gin, but I couldn't taste the raspberries. It was actually raspberry mint. I couldn't really get those flavours, those botanical flavours. So I wanted a in-your-face type of flavour that could also be mixed with tonic water, because not everybody loves tonic water, but it also works so well with Prosecco.
And what made you go for the mango?
Well, it's a very strong, very, very exotic fruit. And okay. I thought, well, it's either going to work or it's not.
Okay, and your recommendation is to mix it with Prosecco rather than tonic water?
No, either. Makes a lovely
gin and
tonic.
Okay, well, I'm going to try that one. It looks amazing again.
And we've garnished it with a bit of mint.
Yes, and the smell is beautiful.
A few blueberries.
Mm. And also...
Oh, yes, that real mango flavour there. Really lovely. Mm, very good. Do try that one, Graham, as well. It's very, very nice indeed. And when did this come on the market, then?
About 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm. And what's the reaction been to that?
Stunning.
It has been.
It flies off the shelves. And primarily, it's because we do two different size bottles. So we do a 70 centilitre bottle and we do a 20 centilitre bottle. And people are a bit nervous to spend a lot of money on a good premium product. So they go for the 20,
right?
Which is more affordable. And they try the 20, but they come back and they buy the 70. So they dip their toe into the water.
Yes, it's a good opportunity for them to try it, isn't it? Yes.
And also, we believe that it is totally unique at the moment to the market. We're the first company to have brought out a cloudy mango gin.
Yes, how fantastic. That's very, very exciting. And so people can buy it at local stockists on the website. And I noticed you do online sales as well.
Yes.
You mentioned these events that you're going to. So can you tell us a few events that are coming up?
Certainly. We've got later this month Farnham Farmers Market. And Chichester's coming up and Lewis. We're looking forward to going back to Ardingly in May, and the Guildford County Show. We had a tremendous time there last year. Edenbridge and Oxted, the event there. Cranley, we had an amazing day there last year on a very hot summer's day, and everyone seemed to want to drink our gin at the time.
How fantastic. Yes. Well, that sounds very exciting. Well, unfortunately, we've got to leave it there. Would you like to give us your website details in case people want more information?
Take a look at www.tomcatgin.co.uk.
Okay, then. Thank you very much, Kate and Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks very much for bringing the gin in. That was very nice.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much.
That was Kate and Paul Ratton from Tomcat Gin. In the next part of our show, we'll be talking to Andy Wilmot from Surrey Chambers of Commerce.
Surrey Business Affairs, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
Your family's well-being is your everything. And at West Byfleet's private GP clinic, we provide accessible, expert advice for everyone. GP appointments, earwax removal, travel clinic, health checks, blood tests, aesthetics, to name but a few of our services. Visit privategpclinic.co.uk or speak to our friendly team on 01932 344 004. Private GP Clinic West Byfleet is regulated by the Care Quality Commission.
Manny's Sauces believe in better, believe in healthier, believe in greener and believe in quality.
Whether I'm making a barbecue, roast, stir fry, a curry, casserole or stew, Manny's Sauces have the right sauce for me to impress with my cooking.
Manny's Sauces are ideal for parents to easily make healthy and tasty meals for their children, keeping them happy and healthy.
I like it that they're free from allergens, vegan friendly, 100% British, and there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
So whether it's marinades, cooking sauces, table sauces or curries, Manny's Sauces make a difference and help you take control of your kitchen.
Do what I did. Visit mannysauces.com to see their awesome range of sauces.
Manny's Sauces is the only hot sauce and marinade you need.
It's Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello and welcome back to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Andy Wilmot, Membership Manager of Surrey Chambers of Commerce. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Jackie. Now, how am I going to follow gin? I'm going to be the most boring guest you've ever had on the show, aren't I?
It's a hard act to follow, I will admit, but I'm sure you will.
I'll try.
It'll be fine, absolutely. So really, can you give us a bit about your background then? What happened? What did you do before joining Surrey Chambers?
I started my career as a publisher, working for one of the large publishing houses. It was the least glamorous titles of magazines you could imagine. So I worked on one magazine which was called Port and Dredging Construction,
right.
Which was basically you'd have to get up on Monday morning and sit and talk about silt.
Ah, yes.
Stuff like that.
Yes.
In the next office to me was a magazine called International Tax-Free Trader. So they were flying off to Cancun and Saint-Tropez, and I was going to ports around the UK. So it wasn't quite so good.
No, okay. So what happened then? How did you make the transition from publisher to joining the Chamber?
It's a fairly long story. One of the, like most people, as a young man, I thought I could probably do better than working in a big company. So I started off my own publishing house with a colleague, had some fantastic times on that. Most publishers end up getting involved in exhibitions. So we organised some exhibitions within the UK and some overseas in the Middle East. Then I decided to take a different career move and moved away from that, and then went to work in the financial sector for a while, which was really exciting. I took a short-term contract whilst PEPs were changing to ISAs. So I did a short-term contract for one of the large publishing financial houses, trying to sell the concept of ISAs before they existed, when the person I was working for didn't want them to be sold because they were still selling PEPs, but they had to retain that ongoing business. So it was the most convoluted brief I'd ever had, but it was fantastic, and I stayed on doing that for quite a while afterwards, and then some personal changes happened in my life, and I got into I was working for health clubs, and then I was looking for a new job, and someone said, do you know there's a job going at the Chamber of Commerce? And I don't really think that suits me. I'm not really into it. But, I haven't had an interview for a little while. I'll go along for the interview. Got through the first interview, thought, do you know what? I get this. I like this. I can see what it does. Worked a bit harder to get through the second interview and was very fortunate enough to be given the job. And it's fantastic. It's one of the hardest jobs I've ever had in terms of time. There's always something going on at 7 o'clock in the morning. There's always something going on in the evening.
Of course, it's a long time.
We're a not-for-profit organisation, so we don't work there for the big bucks. But I can honestly tell you it's the best job I've ever had. I get to work and engage with the most enthusiastic businesses in the UK. I think Surrey has so much to offer. We're the entrepreneurial capital of the UK. It's absolutely a wonderful place, and I get to work with these people, so I get to feed off their genius. I'm very fortunate.
Fantastic. And you've been doing that now for 10 years.
It's 10 years now, yes.
Anyway, here we are, beginning of a new year, 2018. So what do you think 2018 has in store for business owners?
Well, I think 2018 and moving into the start of 2019 will be two of the most pivotal years, I think, in decades to come. We will look back at this time with, you know, the elephant in the room, the Brexit. The negotiations are going to now start moving on to trade, and now we will see how we landscape the future over the next sort of few decades. So I think this year is absolutely pivotal for businesses. I think there's some great opportunities there. Already, from the last few weeks, from the moment that we managed to get through the first phase of negotiations to say that we would be able to talk about trade, there's been some fantastic joint working from people like the British Chamber of Commerce working with the TUC, not normal bedfellows, but coming out with joint statements saying this is what we need. We had obviously Rob earlier on, who was IOD. There's been the British Chamber of Commerce, the IOD, FSB, CBI, all working together to give a cohesive business voice, and that's really crucial. But the most important thing that's happened just recently is the British Chamber of Commerce, the German Chamber of Commerce, the French Chamber of Commerce, all of the chambers of commerce for the countries bordering the North Sea have started to work together and started to put out joint statements saying this is what we need. I think one of the real issues we've had in this country over the last year is we've talked about Brexit every single day. In Europe, they haven't. It's just not an issue. It's not been on one front page of a newspaper. It's not on television. It isn't an issue. Now that we start moving into trade talks, suddenly the ordinary person in Europe is going to take notice a bit more. And what car manufacturers in the UK want is exactly what car manufacturers in Germany want. So there will be a commonality of purpose that comes through, and that I think is going to help. So maybe I'm sort of glass half full as opposed to glass half empty, but I think there's some real opportunities there. And I think what we've experienced over the last year has been a little bit of a phony war almost.
Sure,
a lot
sure.
of the stuff has been going
yeah.
on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
A lot of push from the press to say what's happening, this and, our negotiations going well. How would you know? We've never been through these negotiations before, and none of us are involved in it. So I think hopefully there is there's a lot to take on board in the next year. I think there's an awful lot of things that businesses are going to need to be quick to react to, but what the crucial message is, we must be leading the debate and leading the agenda as opposed to being reactive to it.
Sure. And as a Chamber of Commerce, do you have any advice for your members on how to deal with the Brexit situation?
It's almost sort of issue by issue. So what we try and do through the BCC nationally and us regionally, what we're trying to do is advise businesses and give them enough of the tools to react to each individual situation that arises. Obviously, with fluctuations in things like the currency fluctuations, for some businesses that can be an absolutely fantastic opportunity.
Sure.
For others, that's a real challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what we've tried to do in the last few months is introduce a raft of advice lines which cover a number of particular areas, whether they be tax, whether they be HR, whether they be legal. And of course, they're designed to be absolutely reactive to anything that's happening with Brexit, any legislation changes, so that we're helping businesses. You know, at the end of the day, I can't be an expert in everything, and no one would want me to be. What we need to be is the conduit to get businesses the correct advice, and that's what we're aiming to do.
Right, okay. And I see that you've got a new helpline and resources library set up now. Can you tell us a bit about that?
That's exactly it, yes. We call it QDOS. It's really the Surrey Chambers helpline. It's run professionally by experts within their particular field. It's designed to be there as a first port of call. It's not designed to stop businesses talking to the experts in Surrey, but if you're sitting there as a business owner, sometimes you're there at 11 o'clock at night with an intractable problem. The idea is it's there. It's a 24/7, 365 days a year helpline, talking to someone who's a professional. It's not designed as this is what the law says, this is what you must do.
Sure.
It's designed as how can we work through this problem? This is the first thing I think you should do. Call me back tomorrow when you've done that and we'll go to plan B. It's a hand-holding, employer-focused support service, and a lot of obviously there's some wonderful advice out there, but the majority of it is employee focused. So this is for the business owner. We've all sat there with the four walls staring at us and thinking, what
yes.
on earth do I do? This is there to help them and then push them onto the right advice afterwards.
And also I see it's got 650 free downloadable template documents covering employment, health and safety and legal matters. That's very useful, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's the sort of thing that you need. I was talking to a business the other day, and the problem they had was the difference between a distributor or an agent. And it was quite a... Now, if they had contacted someone to get professional paid advice for that, that would have cost them quite a lot of money. They can go to this library, it's set out there, they can adapt it. It's the sort of thing that you top and tail for yourself, but it takes you into it puts you in a position where you have the better knowledge before you're even starting to do that.
Okay.
And that's exactly what that's for.
Okay then, well unfortunately we've run out of time, but thanks very much for coming in. Would you like to give us your website details so people can get more information?
Yes, certainly. You can look at all the things that we're doing, whether it's events or backup services, at www.surrey-chambers.co.uk.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Thanks, Jackie.
That was Andy Wilmot from Surrey Chambers of Commerce. And the next part of our programme, we're going to be talking to Mike Lazar from Brighter Spaces.
You're listening to Surrey Business Affairs on Brooklyn's Radio, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge, is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7am to 11pm weekdays, 7am to 9pm Saturdays, and 10am to 4pm on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Hi, it's Jill Bennett. Why not listen in on Thursday afternoon between 2 and 4? I'll be playing lots of great tunes featuring classic hits from across the decades, news and events in Surrey, and your essential guide to a happier and healthier lifestyle. There'll be a guest each week sharing their experiences. So join me, Jill Bennett, this Thursday on Brooklyn's Radio between 2 and 4.
It's Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello there and welcome back to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Mark Lazar from Brighter Spaces. Hello there, Mark.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So before we get on to what Brighter Spaces is all about, what is your background then? What were you doing before you set up the business?
My background is actually property and real estate. So that's where I started 7 years ago and I moved down to London. But two of my other co-founders have been in business for a long time. And one of their daughters-in-law is a therapist. So that's kind of where the idea was born from, conversation.
So did you find a gap in the market then?
Yeah, well, we were looking at doing flexible workspace in a separate industry. And through a conversation with Buddy, one of my other co-founders' daughter-in-law, she pushed us towards the therapist world because she felt there was a massive need for on-demand flexible workspaces of a high quality. So that's how we started.
And when you say mind and body therapist, what do you mean exactly?
Mind and body therapist, so anything or anyone from a reflexologist to a masseuse to a counsellor to a psychiatrist to a life coach, anyone who needs a talking therapy room or a room to practice body therapies from.
So I suppose it's a very good alternative to people having to work from home and having to have customers into their home.
Exactly, yeah. The idea is that we try and provide people with a home from home experience. So we've had professional designers come in and design all the rooms to feel and work and function like a living room. So you wouldn't know if you were just plonked in the room, you were anywhere other than a living room. So that's kind of, yeah. The idea is to bring those people in away from their home and into our Brighter Spaces sites.
So what was the first step in setting up the business? Finding the premises?
Yes. The first step was making sure that the idea would take well to the industry. So we spoke to a few people as well as obviously Buddy's daughter-in-law and got some feedback and it was very positive. People loved the idea. So we evolved it over time, taking different ideas from other flexible workspace companies, and then we started to look for sites. Found a site very quickly, actually.
Right, and your first site is going to be in Guildford, isn't it?
It is indeed, which is launching on the 29th of this month.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
So tell us, describe to us the amenities there then. How many rooms are there?
So there's 9 therapy rooms. There's 4 different room types. This is across all of our sites. We have 2 small talking therapy rooms. They're called My Space Rooms. We have 4 slightly larger talking therapy rooms called Our Space Rooms. We have 1 group space room, which is for training and meetings and educational classes. And we then have 2 body space rooms, which are for body therapists, as well as a waiting room with a full-time concierge.
Right. And what made you pick Guildford?
We were offered a site there, and I've always liked Surrey because it's quite similar to where I grew up in, just south of Manchester, in a leafy urban environment. And when I came there and went there for the first time, I just loved it. And it's very ancient, very historic, very warm, welcoming, kind of a family styled area. So we just took to it very quickly, and the building's great. It's a 17th century Georgian townhouse, so loads of character, and we just could vision what we wanted to do there quite quickly.
How are you going to promote the spaces to the therapists?
We've got a lady working with us called Anita, who's actually a therapist as well, and she is trying to speak to as many of the colleges, organizations, institutions as possible to get our name out there. But what we're doing for anyone who is listening or anyone who knows anyone who's a therapist is we're offering everyone 3 free hours. So when the site goes fully live, in approximately 10 days. Anyone who signs up and registers an account will be able to use 3 hours flexibly as and when they choose.
Oh, that sounds a very good incentive.
Yeah.
And so how does the system work? So therapists will just become a member of the website and then fill in a form when they need the room? How far ahead do they have to book?
So you'll be able to go online, and when the site is fully up and running, you'll be able to go online and sign up with your details and professional information, and then you'll be able to browse the availability. So there'd be quite a well-designed online booking system. You'll go on there, you'll choose the time, the day, and the room type that you want, subject to availability. You can then go and book it. Once it's booked, you'll get a unique key code, which we will email to you, or the system will email to you, which will give you access into the room for the period of time which you've booked. So it's all innovative, no need for keys and hassle and speaking to people about getting into rooms and then handing the keys back at the end of the session. It's all innovative.
Because you have a concierge that's going to be
exactly
in charge of all that.
In theory, you might not need to ever see the concierge. It'd just be your clients whilst they're waiting. If you walk into the site with your code and you get into the room and you have your session for however many hours or hour that you booked, and then you leave. So the concierge is there to help, and they'll be there to help with anything that anyone needs. But yeah, it's digital, and hopefully people won't need to have too much face-to-face contact unless they want it.
Sure. And then what's the minimum number of hours that a therapist could book?
Just the one. So
they could just book it, just 1 hour?
Just 1 hour. So no upfront cost or anything, no time commitments. If you want to book 1 hour every 6 months or 1 hour every day, you can do that.
Oh, that's very good, isn't it? How much is it going to cost, or does that depend on...
Depends on the room types. We've got flexible pricing options as well, which we hope will cater to most people, from those looking for day-to-day use to those who are just looking for flexible use over, you know, a week or month period. So the room prices vary. There are pricing options online. They vary from 16 from MySpace room, which is a talking therapy room. The small one is £16 an hour. Then the group space room is £25 an hour, and there's costs in between that.
Oh, I see. Okay. And what are the advantages, do you think, for the therapist to use your facilities?
Generally, the model is based on flexibility. So that's the way I see the world going, and I think the world is going. People don't want to commit to things they don't want to commit to. You want to know that you can just do something based on your time frames and work around those, and not have to have people telling you have to pay X amount for these amounts of hours. You want to use, you know, a flexible model which you can apply to your day-to-day life. As well as that, they're very well designed, lovely, if I may say so myself.
Well, yes,
rooms.
I saw the pictures on your website. They look very, very nice.
They are going to be really nice. Like I said, we've had designers go in and every minor detail has been thought of. No two rooms are the same, so you might have an affiliation to one room because you don't like the colours of another room. Everything's different, and everything's extremely well thought through, from, you know, the website, the colours on the website, all the way through to the rooms themselves.
And of course, there are quite added facilities, aren't there, like Wi-Fi, printer, scanner, waiting area, that kind of thing.
Printer,
as well.
Scanners in each room, which are unlimited use. USB charging points. We put chargers for iPhones in each room. Clocks, everything you could possibly think of, or we could possibly think of, that we think therapists, mind and body, will need, we've tried to implement those ideas.
And then you're going to be opening in Wilmslow and Islington later on in the year, I believe, and then presumably from there you'll go for other areas.
Exactly. So Wilmslow is opening on the 5th of March, hopefully, and Islington, we're trying to agree terms on the lease now, which will hopefully open around April time, and then if the idea takes to the therapy world, then we'll open as many as we can in as many areas as we can.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks very much for coming in and talking to us. Would you like to give us your website details?
The website details is brighterspacesuk.com.
Okay, thank you very much, Mark.
No problem.
That was Mike Lazar from Brighter Spaces. In the next part of our programme, we'll be talking to Nikki Bonfanti from Trusted Sales Dynamics.
Surrey Business Affairs, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
Apple devices and IT systems are a crucial part of modern-day businesses. Any business can be seriously disrupted by unexpected IT failure. If you're a business owner and your company needs peace of mind Apple Mac support, please call 07907 07975000 or visit www.rafalcookler.com and speak with Rafal, your local Apple certified support professional today. That's 07907 795000 for peace of mind Apple support.
If you love film music of all kinds, then Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Brit Flicks is the show for you. Every Thursday, escape into the exciting world of the movies with soundtracks that transport you right into the films. From special shows dedicated to legendary composers to theme shows dedicated to different genres, you can hear a mixture of classic themes as well as well-known songs that feature in films. So, all you film fans, be sure to catch Hunter's Hollywood Hits and Brit Flicks with me, Suzanne Hunter, every Thursday at 9 p.m, only on Brooklyn's Radio.
It's Surrey Business Affairs with Jackie Mitchell.
Hello there and welcome back to Surrey Business Affairs with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Nikki Bonfanti from Trusted Sales Dynamics. Hello there, Nikki.
Hi, Jackie.
Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Pleasure.
So before we get on to Trusted Sales Dynamics, can you give us a bit about your background then? What were you doing before you set up your own business?
Going way back, I was a teacher. I'm a trained teacher. And then I went to Italy.
How nice.
On an Interrail ticket, and I taught English as a foreign language, and from there got a job in sales, selling educational materials to schools and colleges in Italy, and that was my step into a sales career. And for the next 15 years I had either a new job or a promotion in the sales field in education and training.
Right, okay. And what did you like about sales?
The people. I like chatting to people. I like finding out what their needs are. I like finding out what their problems are and seeing if I can solve them. So it was like a problem solving exercise.
Because sales is the most difficult thing, I think, in any business.
That's
and it's
what
and the least
say.
Liked as well, I believe, as well.
That's what keeps me in business, yes. Because most of my clients, particularly women business owners, find that the most difficult piece of the business to get their heads around. So that's what I do. I show them that selling is actually the service that they do.
Okay.
Help them to reframe it, rethink it.
Yeah, so you when did you actually set up on your own then?
It was 2010, so nearly 8 years ago.
Right, yeah. And how did that come about?
I took time out of my career to have my daughter, Fabia. And when she was about 18 months old, I set up a language school, Ciao Ciao, teaching Italian so that she had other people to speak Italian to. And then when she was starting junior school, I started getting a bit more ambitious and thinking I'll go back to corporate life, go back to training, go back to management skills. So I set up that business then. For the past 18 years, my Saturday job is a lecturer in management for the Open University. So all through my maternity time, I was doing that on the Saturday. And so I kept my brain in gear, and I kept all my contacts, and I kept all my training ideas together. So that in 2010, I decided, right, I'll set up a training business. And it was only when I went out networking that what people really wanted was help with sales rather than management or that sort of training.
Yes, and what would you say are the most common mistakes people make with sales?
Being really talking too much is the first thing. We've got two ears and one mouth for a reason. So talking too much about their products or their services and not listening enough. I think that's one of the things. And whilst there's this kind of old-fashioned stereotype of the sleazy, pushy, double-glazing type salesperson, a lot of particularly women business owners go right to the other end of the pendulum and avoid the sale. So they'll tell someone, they'll do fantastic talks, they'll go to all the networking meetings, they'll do all the social media, but they won't actually put an offer out. They won't actually say to people, this is the next step to buying my products.
So they won't actually close the sale, in other words?
They won't even open it.
Oh, I see, okay. And so how do you work? Do you work with them one-to-one, or do you run workshops, or how does it work?
Yeah, I have run workshops. I have run academies in the past. At the moment, I'm just doing one-to-one work and running courses. My latest course is Sell Like a Woman, which you can do online. But I also run courses for coaches in particular who want to sell more and grow their practices. So, I run group courses as well as one-to-one.
Okay, and according to your website, there are three types of salespeople: the annoyer, the avoider, and a trusted advisor. So which one is the most successful?
The trusted advisor, the one in the middle. So the annoyer is the one, the old stereotype. The avoider is the other end of the spectrum. But the one in the middle is the attractive advisor, because they put their clients first. They don't put their own agenda first, but they put their clients' agenda first to find out what their issues are.
Okay, and I mean, sales has changed quite a bit now, though, hasn't it? Because, I mean, in the old days, people used to do a lot of telesales. People used to get people on the phone. I mean, nobody phones anyone up anymore, do they?
Well, they do occasionally. But it's whether you've had a car accident or PPI or all of those things that you're just not interested
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, now it's more digital, isn't it? It's email. So do you sort of help people with composing their selling email, or how do you work on that basis?
Not so much the wording of the email, but putting the offers together, and using Facebook. That's a common way forward, but creating something free that will then give you the permission to email somebody. So I work with people to work out what their offers can be, starting with something free to something that doesn't cost a lot, to the more high level products.
So that would be like on their website to open up the sales dialogue?
Yes, or on Facebook. Yeah.
So they would have a Facebook page and offer something free on the Facebook page?
Yes, and get people to sign up and give their email details and even phone details. I do encourage people to use the phone still, but not in a pushy way, but in a way of connecting, because what emails lack and what social media lacks is that warmth and that connection, and you only get that face-to-face or on the phone.
Well, that's the problem, though, isn't it, with the phone, is actually getting through to the right people, because they have what's called the gatekeepers that say, oh, what's it in connection with? Oh, sorry, he's busy, he's in a meeting, or she's busy, she's in a meeting. Yeah. And you can never get through to the right person. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for people on that?
LinkedIn is a great way forward, because everyone's personal details are on there. Phoning early in the morning, before 8:30, usually the bosses are in the office before everybody else. And then making friends with the gatekeepers, and being honest with them, open with them, saying, I've got something that could be of real interest. When is the best time? Can you help me find a way to get to talk to them? There's lots of ways around it if you put your mind to it.
And it's interesting you mentioned Facebook, because a lot of businesses don't think that Facebook is for them. So that's interesting. Your take on it is that people should be on Facebook.
Small businesses, I think, if you've got a business to consumer client base, then that definitely. LinkedIn, I think, is one for more formal companies, bigger companies. You can find anyone you want to in LinkedIn, so that's a great way forward.
And also, you run the Discover Your Inner Sales Superhero. Can you tell us about that?
We get bombarded with being told we've got to be on Facebook, we've got to do this, we've got to write a book, we've got to do presentations. What I do is work with people to find out what their true personality is, what their true skills are, and then find a way to help them sell according to their strengths, according to their things that they really enjoy doing, so that it's less of a chore, it's more enjoyable, and it will flow a lot easier. If you're constantly on Facebook because you think that's where you should be and you're not enjoying it, it just comes across. People sense that, so it's not going to work. So it's finding out what works for the individual person, not broad brush approach saying this is what you've got to do because it's the latest phase.
Yes, and which company, I suppose, which social media outlet suits the company.
Exactly, and where their clients are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And do you have any advice for a new business owner or a startup on how they could improve their sales?
How to improve your sales as a new company would be to find out your customers. You heard people talking earlier about doing market research and finding out what their clients really wanted. When I first started, I thought that was a boring step and I just wanted to get straight out there and sell as much as possible. It is an essential step. Find out what your clients really want, what their problems really are, and that will give you a really clear idea of where to put your efforts and your energies and how to sell it in a much better way that will suit your clients.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us. Would you like to give us your website details in case people want to get more information?
Sure, it's trustedsalesdynamics.com.
Thank you very much, Nikki.
You're welcome, thank you.
Thank you to all our guests today, Rob May from Ramsack, Kate and Paul Ratton from Tomcat Gin, Andy Wilmot from Surrey Chambers of Commerce, Mark Lazar from Brighter Spaces, and Nikki Bonfanti from Trusted Sales Dynamics. And thank you to my producer, Graham Laycock. And to stay in touch, or if you know any business people who should be on our programme, please email studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and a little bit about them. And do follow us on Twitter, @BrooklandsRadio. Do visit the Business Affairs webpage on brooklandsradio.co.uk for details of forthcoming guests and to listen to previous editions of Surrey Business Affairs. This show will be repeated next Thursday, the 18th of January at 7 o'clock in the evening, and the next edition of Surrey Business Affairs will be on Thursday, the 1st of February at 1 o'clock. So do listen in. So it's goodbye from me, Jackie Mitchell.
Surrey Business Affairs. If you'd like to take part, email businessaffairs@brooklandsradio.co.uk. That's Surrey Business Affairs, for and about local businesses in Surrey.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.